The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus.
Nemo dat quod non habet. If it sounds like I'm speaking a different language, I am. It's a Latin phrase. Nemo dat quod non habet means no one can give what they do not have. It's actually a principle that comes from civil law, most especially in property rights. It's the idea that the purchase of a possession from someone who did not have the right of ownership also denies the purchase of the ownership rights. I cannot own something that I bought from somebody who didn't own it to begin with. This is true in civil law, but we're aware that this principle basically applies in the spiritual life as well. Our Lord knew this. It is this Easter season that we continue. We're not stopping the Alleluias. Not one day, not 8 days. It's going to last for 50 days, all the way to Pentecost. And this whole time we get to ponder, most especially, the appearances of the resurrected Lord with his glorified body to his apostles and disciples before his ascension into heaven. And each one of those appearances have their own details that are significant to the apostles, but certainly significant to us. It's also a good time of the year, this 50-day period, to read the Acts of the Apostles. And the church will go through that in the first reading often during the Sunday liturgies. It's because we see the mission of the church being played out for the very first time in those first several years. And what's clear from both the gospel accounts and Acts of the Apostles is that in God's divine wisdom, Christ willed that the church be the instrument of faith and mercy and grace. He wishes for all the rest of history to operate through the church. And he knows the church can't give what it does not first have. And so he must strengthen the apostles' faith so they might have it, so they might give it. And that's why he says, "Put your hand in my side, feel my wounds. It's me." And of course, he reiterates that blessed are those who don't get to see, because those who you will go to give faith, to present this testimony, they won't be able to see and bless them for it. But he also knows that those apostles, remember this scene, the Gospel of John, it's the first time that Jesus has an encounter with his apostles after the crucifixion. Everybody except John in this room has got to be filled with shame. Every stinking one of them abandoned him, except John. One of them denied him 3 times. And here he is, face to face. They're horrified and they're filled with shame. They don't deserve to share in his victory because of their weakness and cowardice. And yet Jesus shows them mercy. He breathes the Holy Spirit upon them. He gives them his peace and reconciliation. And then, once they have received his forgiveness, he gives them the authority to forgive sins. The church says this is the moment Christ institutes the sacrament of confession. Because if the apostles go on and forgive sins without this step, you can't give what you don't have. They don't have the authority to forgive sins. So this is key. Christ gives them that authority so that they might give it to be instruments of his mercy. This Sunday, this weekend, has been given the name Divine Mercy Sunday ever since the year 2000, when Pope John Paul II, in that Jubilee year, both canonized a Polish nun, St. Faustina, but also designated this day to focus on God's divine mercy. This Polish nun, St. Faustina, had revelations from Jesus himself in the 1930s. And from those encounters, we have the benefit of reading about those, that message of mercy in her diary, which the church has approved. This image of divine mercy, which is a visible reminder of God's mercy flowing from his most sacred heart. We also have the chaplet of divine mercy, the novena of divine mercy, which we began back on Good Friday. We have the hour of mercy every day at 3 p.m., the hour Christ expired and gave himself. But we also have the feast of divine mercy today. And why does the church highlight this on the weekend right after Easter? Because we can't give what we don't have. It wasn't just in the first century the church is supposed to be this instrument of faith and mercy. It's supposed to be now. And if we think that we're going to be instruments of reconciliation, peace, and mercy in this world without first receiving the mercy that we don't deserve but we absolutely need, we will never be effective instruments. It's been said that the mercy of God is his most impressive and greatest attribute. It's a bold claim. We do say God is love. We could say that mercy is that highest form of love, to give even when the recipient doesn't deserve it. It's been said that mercy is that thing we need the most but deserve the least. It's been called the hope of the hopeless. In this world, so many are gripped by despair for their past weaknesses and sins, or current weaknesses and sins, or they are presuming God's mercy and do not believe they need his mercy. The first prerequisite to receive mercy is to ask for it with great contrition. That's why we begin every Mass asking for mercy. That's why we highlight the sacrament of confession, not just in Lent, not just in Advent, so that we might receive the mercy, that we might be instruments of his mercy. Today on Divine Mercy Sunday, the Lord wants to strengthen our faith because he wants us to be instruments of bestowing faith to others and bearing testimony, just like the apostles. He also wants us to experience and receive his mercy, mercy we don't deserve, but he freely gives, so that we also might be instruments of his mercy, to not hold grudges, to not be hard-hearted, to not be fixated on revenge, but to give what we have received, which is divine mercy.